Let's read together Esther chapter 2. Now in this chapter, we have the introduction of Mordecai and his cousin Esther, who becomes the new queen of Persia in place of Vashti. Let's begin by reading verses 1 through 20. Esther chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. After these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus subsided, he remembered Vashti, what she had done, and what had been decreed against her. Then the king's servants who attended him said, "Let beautiful young virgins be sought for the king, and let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather all the beautiful young virgins to Susa, the capital, into the women's quarters, under the custody of Haggai, the king's eunuch, custodian of the women, and let beauty preparations be given them. Then let the young woman who pleases the king be queen instead of Vashti." This thing pleased the king, and he did so. In Susa, the capital, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite. Kish had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captives who had been captured with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. And Mordecai had brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother. The young woman was lovely and beautiful. When her father and mother died, Mordecai took her as his own daughter. So it was when the king's command and decree were heard, and when many young women were gathered at Susa, the capital, under the custody of Haggai, that Esther also was taken to the king's palace, into the care of Haggai, the custodian of the women. Now the young woman pleased him, and she obtained his favor. So he readily gave beauty preparations to her, besides her allowance. Then 7 choice maidservants were provided for her from the king's palace, and he moved her and her maidservants to the best place in the house of the women. Esther had not revealed her people or family, for Mordecai had charged her not to reveal it. And every day Mordecai paced in front of the court of the women's quarters to learn of Esther's welfare and what was happening to her. Each young woman's turn came to go into King Ahasuerus after she had completed 12 months' preparation, according to the regulations for the women. For thus were the days of their preparation apportioned: 6 months with oil of myrrh, and 6 months with perfumes and preparations for beautifying women. Thus prepared, each young woman went to the king, and she was given whatever she desired to take with her from the women's quarters to the king's palace. In the evening she went, and in the morning she returned to the second house of the women, to the custody of Shaashgaz, the king's eunuch, who kept the concubines. She would not go into the king again unless the king delighted in her and called for her by name. Now when the turn came for Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her as his daughter, to go into the king, she requested nothing but what Haggai, the king's eunuch, the custodian of the women, advised. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all who saw her. So Esther was taken to King Ahasuerus into his royal palace in the 10th month, which is the month of Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. The king loved Esther more than all the other women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins. So he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Then the king made a great feast, the feast of Esther, for all his officials and servants, and he proclaimed a holiday in the provinces, and gave gifts according to the generosity of a king. When virgins were gathered together a second time, Mordecai sat within the king's gate. Now Esther had not revealed her family and her people, just as Mordecai had charged her, for Esther obeyed the command of Mordecai as when she was brought up by him. Let's begin our study of Esther chapter 2 with some background notes. In Esther chapter 1, we learned that King Ahasuerus, who is probably Xerxes I of the Persian Empire, banished Queen Vashti from the royal courts because she refused to be put on display at the king's banquet. Now, whether Vashti was executed or not, we don't know for sure. But we read in verse 1 of chapter 2 that after these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus subsided, he remembered Vashti, what she had done, and what had been decreed against her. We see by the phrase, "after these things," that some time has gone by since the events of chapter 1. In fact, when we compare the dates given in verse 3 of chapter 1, with verse 16 of chapter 2, we see that there are 4 years between the removal of Queen Vashti and the installation of Queen Esther. Everybody see that? Verse 3 of chapter 1 in the third year of his reign, and verse 16 of chapter 2 in the 10th month, which is the month of Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. So as much as 4 years have gone by. We know from secular history that during this time, Xerxes I of Persia lost a major military battle to Greece in 479 BC. Most likely, during this time of discouragement and defeat, Xerxes longed for the comforting presence of his queen once again. But Vashti had been deposed by an edict of the Medes and the Persians, according to verse 19 of chapter 1. And a law of the Medes and the Persians could not be repealed or revoked. You know, that's where we get the expression for a ruling that cannot be changed. It's the law of the Medes and the Persians. You've heard that before? This is where it comes from. The law of the Medes and the Persians can't be changed, can't be revoked. Well, the king's counselors came up with a plan to get a new queen. Beautiful virgins from all over the Persian Empire would be brought into the king's harem. And after a year's preparation, under the direction of Haggai, the king's eunuch, the young lady would go in before the king. Haggai was a eunuch for obvious reasons. Apparently, it didn't take too much arm twisting to convince the king that this was a great idea. And so the process of gathering the young maidens began. Through all of this, God was working behind the scenes to bring Esther to the throne in order to preserve the Jewish people from annihilation. So much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for Esther chapter 2. Doctrinal point number 1. God can use personal beauty to accomplish his purposes. God can use personal beauty to accomplish his purposes. In 597 BC, a man named Kish from the tribe of Benjamin was taken as a captive to Babylon, verses 5 and 6. Now more than 100 years later, a great-grandson of Kish named Mordecai is living in Susa, one of the capitals of the Persian Empire. Mordecai was bringing up and caring for his young cousin Esther, who was an orphan. Her Hebrew name was Hadassah, and her Persian name was Esther. Verse 7 says that Esther was beautiful of form and face, and as a result, Esther was taken as one of the lovely maidens into the king's palace. God can use personal beauty to accomplish his purposes. Not only was Esther selected, but she won the favor of Haggai, the king's eunuch, and was given special preferential treatment. Now, do you think this was all by chance, or was it by divine providence? The answer is obvious. Before the young lady would go in before the king, she would go through a 12-month beautification process, verse 12. Can you imagine? 12 months of skin and body preparation. In verse 14, we read, in the evening she would go in before the king, and in the morning she would return. Now, what did they do all night? Play chess? I don't think so. You ever think about that when you read the book of Esther? So here's the question now. So was Esther committing adultery? No. Why not? Because she was considered the wife of the king. The concubines of the king's harem were legally the wives of the king. Now, Xerxes, of course, was a polygamist, but Esther was not committing adultery. We read in verse 17 that the king loved Esther more than all the other women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins. So he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. God can use personal beauty to accomplish his purposes, then and today. Did you realize that a significant number of Miss Americas over the years have been evangelical Christians? And some of them have given bold and courageous testimonies. These testimonies have encouraged many younger Christian girls to take a bold and committed stand for Christ. God can use personal beauty to accomplish his purposes. Doctrinal point number two, God can use political office to accomplish his purposes. God can use political office to accomplish his purposes. Verses 21 through 23. In those days, while Mordecai sat within the king's gate, two of the king's eunuchs, Bigthan and Teresh, doorkeepers, became furious and sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. So the matter became known to Mordecai, who told Queen Esther, and Esther informed the king in Mordecai's name. And when inquiry was made into the matter, it was confirmed, and both were hanged on a gallows, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles in the presence of the king. The fact that Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate is probably an indication that he held a political office. The gate of the city in ancient days was the place where civil transactions were carried out. In his position at the gate, Mordecai overheard a plot to assassinate the king. Mordecai told Esther, and Esther told the king. The plot was investigated and confirmed, and the two enemies of the king were put to death. These events were recorded in the book of the Chronicles in the presence of the king. This is not the book of Chronicles in the Bible, by the way, but the Chronicles or record books of King Xerxes. Now we'll see that these records become a significant part of the story later in the book of Esther. God was working behind the scenes, even through the official records of the Persian Empire. So God used the political office of Mordecai to accomplish his purpose. God can use political office today to accomplish his purposes. And this applies to political office on a national or state level, as well as political office on a local level. Illustration. You know, I know a Christian man who is on the council of a nearby town. As a Christian, he is using his office to fight for biblical standards and Christian values to be maintained in his town. God is at work. Now, this does not mean that every Christian should run for political office, but God can use political office to accomplish his purposes. What about practical application from Esther chapter 2? Let's remember our roots. Let's remember our roots. We read in verses 10 and 20 that Mordecai instructed Esther not to make it known that she was a Jew. Why not? Because antisemitism was present in Persia, just as it is in many places in the world today. As secular Jews in high places, Mordecai and Esther could have denied their heritage and just lived life for themselves. But they didn't. They remembered their roots. They had not returned with the faithful Jews to Jerusalem to worship at God's temple, but at least they remembered that they were God's special people. They remembered their roots and did what they could to preserve the Jewish people. Let me ask you, do we remember our roots? Many of us were raised in Christian homes and have a godly heritage. We were taught biblical values and standards. What are we doing to preserve this heritage? Let's be like Mordecai and Esther and do what we can to preserve our godly heritage and the Christian community. Let's remember our roots.